Balls and Bumpers are here thanks to EC Credit Control. Maddie and the crew do an amazing job protecting businesses. They can write terms and conditions unique to your business that puts the power in your hands. You get paid sooner, avoid disputes, and when people don't pay you, they can do your chasing. Check them out online or give them a call on 1300 361 070 or 0800 324 768 for my home crowd in New Zealand.
Sounding sprightly there, SM3, must be the 11 o'clock slot that we're doing today. But our joint major sponsor this year is Authentic Collectibles. They are Australia's premium limited edition collectible model car and products brand. They've got new releases, including Scott McLaughlin's 2020 DJR Team Penske Ford Mustang.
They're going hot too, I'll give you the tip. They're going hot.
And of course, Scotty's Penzel Yellow Submarine that he made his Indy 500 debut in a couple of weeks ago. You simply must have one of these. It's
that
great to be working.
That thing is fast. Actually, that thing is fast in the pits as well, if you want to get on top of that thing. But
yeah, you've got to slow down in the pits, Scott.
Well, it's great to be working with William Hall and the crew. So check them out at authenticcollectibles.com.au. Hopefully, the Balls and Bumpers edition of My Car is going to come up soon. But now it is time to head over to the show. So over to you, Hodgie. Open up my
eager eyes, 'cause I missed the bright side. Well done, Scotty McLaughlin.
Big Jack has driven the goal. What a cracker.
And McLaughlin comes to the line.
Yes!
A 2:03.8.
And Scott McLaughlin puts one on the chin.
Jack puts it through. He's a man for the big occasion.
That is off the scale fast.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Balls and Bumpers with thanks to EC Credit Control and Authentic Collectibles. My name is Tim Hodges, joined by the hottest young IndyCar racer on the planet from Charlotte, North Carolina, Scott McLaughlin. Good evening on this Wednesday night and happy birthday, young fella.
Thank you, mate. Yeah, it's my birthday. Just remember that, guys. My birthday today. Hottest is pretty... I'll take that compliment. Appreciate it.
But today, Scotty, the focus today, Scotty, is on triple AFL premiership winner, triple Coleman medalist, two-time All-Australian, two-time best and fairest. He's not far off 300 games. And now...
He's old.
And now he is the owner of the greatest mark in the history of Aussie rules football.
It breaks for Graham across his body. Here comes Joel. They all go up. Revolt. What a mark. Revolt with the flights. Can he cap it off? Celebrate the big mark with a goal. A team lifter in every sense of the word from Jack Revolt.
Jack Revolt, hello from Sydney.
Podgy, I'm pretty sure I'm a three-time All-Australian, so might need to do that intro and redo that for next time.
Please.
Yes, just adding another thing. The mark of the century, mark of the millennium, they're saying. The mark of the millennium, Tim. But no, good to be coming to you live from Sydney. Loving Sydney at the moment, but obviously on the road. Happy birthday, SM3. You're cashing in on the dual time zone birthdays. Have you received a lot of messages today? Or today's obviously Thursday here in Australia. Have you received many messages from your loved ones or the people that you left behind here in Australia?
Yes. No, I've received a lot of text messages from down under. And down under, but no, absolutely, it's been nice. And then everyone's a little bit confused over here because they think it's tomorrow as well, so it's sort of like a bit stuffed up. Anyway, stuff that birthdays, you have them every year. So what about your mark? All right, so I've seen some highlights of this thing. You're going against the flight. What can I've always wanted to ask this, because you don't really take many big marks, so it's kind of nice to actually to have you instead of an anomaly. Instead of grabbing the crumbs, you're sort of getting up there. But
instead of goals out the back, Jack.
Yeah, like little tinkers. But no, so like when you're running back like that, like were you like, no, this is gonna hurt? Like, or are you just doing it? No, this is gonna look good in Dimmer's box. I'm pretty pumped about it. Like Come on. What is that, adrenaline or what is that? Because I can't imagine doing, I remember doing that at school and like thinking like, oh man, it's going to hurt, but never going through with it because I'd like shit myself. So I don't know what it's like with you guys. It's crazy.
No, it was, to be honest, I never sort of thought, sometimes when ball goes over your head, you sort of look to see whether you can impact or not. So it's to make the decision, can I mark it? Is it the right decision to go for that one at that point in time? And clearly I chose, had a little bit of a look to see what was coming and then make the decision to go for the ball. And really
you
after that...
You could get seriously injured like that though.
Yeah, but if you just sort of well, you try and protect yourself as much. So I sort of let, like as a lot of jumping marks do, you sort of jump and you lead with the knee that you're not jumping, the leg you're jumping off. So I sort of led with that knee to protect myself a little bit, and then you're really at the hand of the football gods there. And luckily enough for me, I sort of got a good ride off off the Adelaide player, Chase Jones, and sort of kneed him in the chest. And then really just got away from all the damage, because all the damage is sort of down low. If you can get up a little bit higher, you can avoid it, and got a ride and ended up twisting around. And as they say in the classics, the rest is history.
So you hit the deck pretty hard. So, like, were you a bit winded, or like, were you like, come on, I've got to dramatize this a bit, as you do with most things? So, like, what were you doing? Like, where were you at?
It was a bit like the scene from Cool Runnings, you know, when they crash the bobsled and then he says, Sanka, are you dead, man? And he says, yeah, man. It was like that, really. So I sort of had right. Navi Ochoa lying on top of me, and he's like, are you okay? And I was like, I'm pretty sure I've just passed into the next universe. That's how high I've got. No.
Did you know it was big? Did you know it was that big, or did it look better on TV than it felt?
Kind of. No, I think it looked better on TV than it felt. I didn't realise I'd got as high as what I had, just due to the fact that I didn't realise I'd actually got a decent ride off the pack. So, I was very surprised that the ball was in my hands when I landed, because it was sort of obviously pretty split second. Yeah, and just looked at it, was like, oh, well, I've got it. I've got to go, keep going now. So, very lucky. Very lucky. Yeah.
So it's probably time for an early edition of One Question, Two Answers. Jack, I'll go with you first. Just your legacy in this game now. Three flags, three Commons. Is it really three all Australians?
2010, 2015,
two best and fairest. You will retire as one of the most decorated players to ever play the game. And now you've taken what many people are calling the greatest mark ever taken. What does that mean to you right now to have that as a legacy piece? Scott,
not
this much. Question's coming to you as well. So start thinking about something wankish to say.
It's a lot harder for me to say something wanky committed.
No, it's quite easy for you to do. No, it's not. Obviously, I'm very proud of everything that you've listed there, but I want to continue to add to it. So no doubt in reflection somewhere down the line, boys, I'll look at it and be extremely humbled and chuffed by what's happened. So hopefully you can add a few more marks, a few more premierships, maybe a couple more Colemans and a few more BNFs there, Hodgie. So it's looks a bit more.
Joe, there's a couple of listeners here. We're a live show these days. we've got someone on the line here. Joe, you want to chime in and ask a question for Jack?
I just want to know when you'll be releasing a signed frame copy of the photo of the mark. I've had a few Richmond fans ask me.
Funnily enough, I don't think there's actually a still shot of it. Because due to the fact that we were playing Adelaide at Giants Stadium, obviously with the COVID situation here in Australia at the moment, there wasn't too many Sydney photographers that made it their way out to Homebush for that game. And I don't know, I'd ask you, Hodge, you're obviously fairly big at Fox Sports and have a lot to do with...
How much has that cost you? 20 grand? Not having a great still of it?
Maybe. It's disappointing.
no way. 20 even, G's. That's
even Brenton Speed's call of the mark, Hodgie. What would you rate that out of 10?
No, it was magnificent. And I think it lifted it as well. And it probably has got you over Shea Bolton's mark, because BT completely slaughtered that. So I think you're the winner of Mark of the Year if the season was stopped right now. Unfortunately,
every chance it might be.
Have you been Googling? Have you been Googling what the winner gets?
Has he been Googling? Bloke's already looking up Yaris numbers and figuring out what they cost. And yeah, he'd be selling that thing pretty quick smart.
So. Why would I get it? Why would you get a Toyota Yaris for Mark of the Year? It'd be a Jeep.
I don't know how to, I don't know.
Really great question. I would take, I think I'd take that mark over most goals. So, no, it's obviously an amazing part of the game, and probably a skill that's required in AFL that isn't really required in many other sports. So it's why people go to the footy to see the big high flyers take the marks like that. So that action up there is probably in pretty high up there for me.
Would have been cool if Scott, in a packed, honestly though, wouldn't have been cool if he was in a packed MCG when he took that mark as well.
It was supposed to be at the MCG. So, Scott, playing the part of Jack now, your legacy as an AFL icon with premierships, with Colemans, with all Australians, best and fairest, you're on the verge of 300 games and you've just taken the mark of the year. Do you think you're the most decorated player to ever play the game?
Oh, Tim, I am the most decorated player. There won't be a more decorated player ever to play this game. My cousin Nick thought he did something. He did nothing, mate, compared to me. I got it done. No, I don't know. Buck's done pretty well for himself, hasn't he?
It's unbelievable.
He's a star. But
And you know what? It wasn't until Balls and Bumpers came along we've actually made him.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's true. It's true. I put a lot down to, obviously, and Collingwood's gone downhill since you've come on the show. So that sucks for you, I guess.
Yeah. How would Dave Driscoll be going with all this AFL talk, Jack?
Dave, you can probably tune out for a little bit, but
who's just fast forward it.
Up yours, Dave.
He bags us every single episode on Facebook, selling too much AFL.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that guy. He's one of my boys. Dave, how are you?
Good man.
Dave, so just a little, Dave, jump on board. Dave, just a little bit more AFL for you, Dave, before we get to the Indy 500 review. You are still, since our last episode, you are still on the run, still living out of a suitcase in a hotel in Sydney, Jack. How are you holding up physically, mentally? How draining is it on you and the team to be on the run from, for those who don't know, in New Zealand or America, that you're on the run basically from COVID because it's because of the outbreak back in Melbourne?
Yeah, no, so we're here until we go back to Perth on Saturday. We're playing back-to-back weeks in Perth. So back to Perth on Saturday, play Sunday, and then we're back in Melbourne on Monday. We've got a bye week. So things have been manufactured for us, which has been pretty lucky. We were due to go back to Melbourne last week for a bye, and then just due to logistics, we wouldn't have been able to really get out to get back to Perth. We would have to do a seven-day quarantine again. So we would have come to New South Wales another week to quarantine to go back into Perth. So looking forward to going home after 120 days on the road last year. It's been a long 3 weeks. It's been good though. It's obviously brings the group together just due to the fact that you're all living in the same hotel, but missing my family, missing my own bed, and looking forward to getting back and seeing them.
Is it harder this time than last time?
I think it's definitely been harder this time, just due to the fact that I literally got 8 hours to pack up and leave. And that was the hardest thing, is sort of making the decision. And the first thing you go to is, last year we were told we were going to be on the road for 5 weeks and go to Queensland for 5 weeks. And obviously it ended up being nearly 4 months. So,
Did you have a decision though?
You can not go, but it's obviously a difficult one. But so the plan was early on, I was going to come up here and just play the Adelaide game and then reassess. And then Dreamtime obviously got moved over to Perth. So that was a really important game for for me and Shane Edwards due to the fact that we'd done the Dreamtime jumper. So did that game, reassessed, and it's always just sort of just juggling the home setup, making sure that everyone's okay back there. And
Is your mum and dad at your house? They've been able to
go and do a little bit to help, but just due to COVID rules, it's sort of hard as well. But we're through. I think this year's just been harder too, because juggling one kid versus juggling two children is difficult for Carly and has been difficult for her. But she's held the fort up amazingly well back home. And
I'm batting like she's a good girl.
I'll be back there and be hands on for. I think we're going to have about a week off due to the bye week, so we'll have a whole week off from the football club. So looking forward to some home time. Some Melbourne coffee too. Yeah, there's no place like Melbourne for coffee.
You should be rushing back for the weather. It's awesome at the moment.
It's great down there.
Is it easier to say, no, is it okay, Carly, to just stay on the road because, you know, the dream is still alive. You're still an absolute live chance to win another premiership. And so while you're in that window...
Oh, here we go. Last time we were on a podcast, you shut them down again. You're like, they're done.
No, but like, this is the dream is still alive. Like, to
John
stay on the road to get that win last week was awesome, especially the last 10 minutes of the match against Essendon. Essendon got the lead, Scotty, in the last quarter. And I was like, oh, this is big. And Richmond slammed on 7 goals in, what was it, Jack? 8 or 9 minutes. It was
I didn't watch it, but I followed it.
Phenomenal finish. But just the point of the question, like, you know, to stay on the road to do the hard yards, because you know how good it could be at the end of all this, at the end of September, if you're able to win another one?
I won't say that that's the be-all and end-all, but I think for me, it's more of a sense of responsibility just due to the fact that I'm a leader of the group, that I feel that I need to be here to just do my job. And there's just a love of obviously playing the game and everything like that. But we're obviously going okay. We're still a chance. We're in the eight at the moment. I think if we were to try and stay away again another week, if we had to stay away again, it would probably break me a little bit. I think that would be really hard. So 3 weeks is about the number, I reckon, if you're going to do one of these little swings that you can get away for 3 weeks. After that, it just becomes probably too difficult to stay away without your family. So I'm always hungry to obviously add to the resume, but it's not the be all and end all at the moment. It's just sort of just making sure that I'm here as a leader for the group.
Is it to a point though, like you've got that feeling because it's not the be in and end all because you've done it. Like, you don't want to be selfish, but at the end of the day,
No doubt. I think that drives other people to maybe make that decision to stay away for a bit longer, just due to the fact that we've been lucky and we've been able to experience it. But it certainly doesn't diminish the want to go back to obviously the promised land and play in the grand final and try and win another premiership, just due to the fact that once you've tasted that success, and you would know that too, Scotty, through winning winning Bathurst and winning Supercars titles, that it can become an addiction, just wanting to get back to that thrill of winning and achieving the ultimate success. So it still drives us. Whether it drives me as much as it used to, probably not, just due to the fact that I've been lucky to be able to do it. But you find other things to keep pushing on. Like, I want to get a new contract. I want to get to 300 games, which hopefully I can do in a handful of games time. And there's little things like, I want to be around to help make the group transition into the next phase post me and a lot of other older guys. So there's other things that drive me and make me want to hang around and do things for the football club.
I think it's a really good answer, which is really surprising to come out of your mouth. I can see the addiction though. Like, when you're out there, you could have a million things going through your head, and once you get out into that that center circle, and you see the marker even when you if there's no obvious, evidence to show that you are, you know, fully involved when you get out onto the track, is like obviously when you take those marks. And I had the same thing as when, you know, when you're in battle, there could be so many things off track going through your heads. You could be blowing up your family, you could blow up with your wife, kids, whatever, but it's when you get out, you can completely forget about it, and you're just with a bunch of dudes and a team and just trying to get it done, which is pretty, I can see why you've got that addiction. But yeah, that's pretty my spiel.
Yeah. Dave, yes. Can sit back on now.
Hang on, one more. Can I ask a John Ralph, Scott?
Yeah,
ask John him, Ralph. Not me.
Are we any closer to signing that new contract for 2022?
Just got to put pen to paper, Tim. I think.
Is it a 1-year deal? What are we doing?
It's a 5-year.
He's 37, mate.
I'm 32. It's pretty much done, I think. So I'm just going to wait till I get back to Melbourne, really. That's about it. Yeah.
Johnny, that's an exclusive. Mark that down. Get it ready to go.
Are you happy with the deal? Good sheets?
Great sheets.
Good.
More sheets than you can earn in a normal job, Podgy. So
more sheets than you can return. Earn as a retired
hang on, hack. Hang on for dear life.
he's got that much in his super these days. It's going good.
Oh, can you imagine? Oh. Righto, good on you, Dave. You can jump on now. This is Indy Talk. 2 weeks on from the greatest spectacle in all of motorsports, Scott. How do you reflect on what happened in your debut at the Indianapolis 500?
Pretty happy. Pretty amazing day. Lots of emotions. I was actually like genuinely very emotional on the grid. Partly because of the situation and without mum and dad and stuff and a lot of people in Australia. But the whole euphoria around Memorial Day weekend in America, it's pretty special. You know, when they have all the, it's kind of like Anzac Day. It is basically their Anzac Day, and seeing them do their version of the last post, and you know, when they sing their, you know, God Bless America, and it's pretty captivating. It's pretty awesome.
Did you sing?
But yeah,
did
had a lot of fun.
Did you sing?
No. It's Carly's always like, she's like, oh, you should put your hand on your heart. I'm like, well, it's not my anthem, so I don't put my hand on my heart. It's kind of like.
Yeah, you ever sung the Australian national anthem, or?
I did in school, actually, back in the day. Yeah. Yep. When, before assembly, you'd sing it. I don't know if you guys did that, but no. Yeah, you didn't do it. Oh, no, you left school pretty early, I guess. But yeah, I you can tell that. But for me, I sung it a couple of times, but New Zealand national anthem is definitely the alpha.
All right, let's talk about the elephant in the room, mate. Sitting sort of front mid-pack, and then...
Behind Castroneves.
Behind Helio Castroneves.
Who won the race, Jack?
For the fourth time, Tim. Speeding penalty. What's run us through how hard it is to stop the car and what happened.
Well, so on an oval, you actually let so there's no friction. You pull the brake pads a fair way back, and it's kind of like, I don't know if anyone's watched many of the V8 supercar races over the years, but when we do a rotor change and a brake pad change, they ask us to do, you know, pump the brakes, because you're trying to get a pedal, especially for when you hit turn two at Bathurst. Well, effectively, I'm having to pump the brake as I'm already going and get it prepared for the pit lane. So you're trying to brake this car from sort of 220, 230 down to 60 mile an hour. And probably about, let's say 500 meters, 600 meters. Not much downforce, all that sort of stuff. So very difficult. And for one thing, the brakes are cold. So it's not like a supercar race. You're always using the brake. So you end up, it's very difficult in its own right. But we had a few braking dramas as a team on that day. That's, for me, it's not an excuse. I knew about the issues and I knew about what was going on. But I just didn't prep my brake pedal well enough. I thought I did, but I was also trying to find some time as I had lost some time a little bit on the last sequence and hit the brake the first time and nothing happened. It went like to the floor. And like as a race driver, like that's the worst feeling. Like when you push it to the floor and there's like all you do is hit the back end of the pedal box, like things are bad. So I'm pumping the pedal. I'm trying to get the pads back up. Eventually I get them, but it's just too late. I'm too deep into the corner and managed to keep it off the wall and not spin. But, you know, I knew straight away that the day was done, which sucked.
What goes through your mind? So let's say you've hit the floor. Understandably, is there an element of panic there? And how do you catch that panic and actually not put it into the wall? What are you thinking?
Well, the biggest thing is, well, you've got people in front of you. So I had Elio in front of me at the time. And when I hit the brake, I had no feel in the brake. So it's kind of hard to go to your mind, okay, let go of the brake when you're fully under brakes and like pump the brake and then push it again. This all happens in like a second, but it feels like a minute as you're braking. It's crazy. So for me, it was all about getting pedal pressure because I didn't want to come too fast into pit lane. Like I didn't want to be like coming to the line too quick. But then once I got the pressure, it was all about trying to control the car and trying to keep it off the wall because I knew I was done. I knew I was going to be speeding. So I was like, you know, try and control it so we can at least finish the race. And that was sort of – and then I – yeah, it was it killed me. It sucked.
How many times have you – sorry, you go, Hodgie.
No, where do you think you would have finished, Scott? Have you done the maths? Have you watched the race back and thought, well, I probably would have fitted in maybe here or there and I could have held my position or grabbed another couple of spots and maybe finished where? What do you reckon?
No, I think we would have been right there. I think we would have been – I pitted with Elio, you know, I was pitting with Palou and all that. I think we would have been like top five, top six with – maybe was I a fair way back from the lead pack? Potentially I was maybe like a straight or half straight behind them. But as you saw, like Pagenaud had that same thing and he was able to close back in on them. But I think the way that the guys did pit stops and got it all done and the strategy we were on, we were in the same strategy as those guys that we were with or that, you know, that we were in that front pack. So, I think probably a top five, top six for sure.
Do you walk away then for the race thinking missed opportunity or do you walk away from the race going, I know that if I tidy up little things such as the braking, I'm going to really belong in this sport?
Yeah, no, it's a bit of both. Don't get me wrong, I was very... I was just guarded and like took me a number of days to get over it. Leading at me a lot, but then the learnings that I got out of that to take into like my future time in IndyCar, but then also the missed opportunity was hard to take, but the learnings that I got from it all, certainly it gave me the confidence that, okay, like this is my second oval ever at one of the biggest ovals in the world, or it is the biggest oval, and I was right there. So the confidence that gave me that I belonged, or I'm starting to belong, I feel like that's certainly what it did. Qualifying, I felt pretty strong. All practice, I felt good. I was passing some cars, and you know, I wish I could have just done the race all over again because I know I'd be even better. So you know, and that's the best thing about it.
So we know, Scott, when Jack loses or plays badly, he drops the bottom lip and goes missing for 3 or 4 weeks from the podcast. What do you like? Do you
kick... We wanted to do this podcast last week, but...
Do you kick chase the dog or are you a grumpy bastard around Carly? How long did it take you to sort of get over that?
I don't kick me dog, mate, but no, I...
Child.
Yeah, my child.
You cuddle him and take him to bed, yes.
Yeah.
not at the moment. He's booted him. Where is he at the moment?
No, he's actually he's gone to his puppy
Better place or
puppy heaven?
Yeah, no. He hasn't. So hey, don't say that, you little bastard. No, I was pretty upset. I had a few drinks on Sunday with, you know, my family that was there, Carly's family that was there. It was cool. But the next day I was just like, ugh, you know, I just had this homesick feeling. Like it was all over, and it was very weird, and just going home and getting on with it. But probably the best thing I could do was get back in the car, and I was able to drive at Road America on Wednesday after. So that was cool. But yeah, I literally had a great weekend just gone. I didn't see anyone. I didn't talk to anyone. Carly went to New York for a bridesmaid thing that she's doing with her friend. So I had a great weekend just being by myself, playing video games and hanging out with my dog. It was good.
And this weekend, you're back in the car on the streets of Belle Isle at Detroit. It's one of the cool street tracks in the IndyCar calendar. And street tracks are somewhere that you have excelled in the past in supercars. You must be looking forward to what's ahead this weekend.
Yeah, I'm excited. I think if I can get my head around the track pretty quick and have a pretty decent car, I'll be I'm feeling pretty good, but yeah, I'm excited for that track. It's gonna be very unique, but I've got one practice, so I've got a 75 minute practice on Friday. I can sleep on it, and then it's qualifying race Saturday and qualifying race Sunday, two 70 lap races. It's very bumpy there, I've heard. It's gonna be tough on the body, and certainly gonna be feeling it by the end of the weekend. But oh man, like I'm pretty pumped. Like I'm just excited to go to another city. Never been in Detroit. Check it out. I'm closest I'm ever going to get right now to Canada, which is pretty cool. So I'll check it out and see what goes on.
Can you snag a result? What are your expectations? Can you be a little bit optimistic that things will go okay?
I honestly, Hodgy, I have no idea. I it's going to be a tough ask in terms of what's ahead of me, but you know, I believe, you know, if I get on top of the car and feeling for it and learn as quick as I can, I'm going to be there or thereabouts. I don't think it's any different to sort of, I think I'm looking at it as a, you know, how I approached St. Pete in 2020, you know, and that's sort of how I'm approaching it. But the best thing about now is I've got a huge amount of experience compared to what I had then, so that's definitely going to help me and put me in good stead for sure.
Righto. Have you got any more, Jack?
I've just got one more. Is there any lessons? Like, I know that they're completely different tracks, oval track into a street track. Is there any lessons that you can take forward now that you have learned from Indy to nail coming into Detroit this week?
I don't think it's driving-wise, but you just can't take your mind off anything. You know, you've got to execute everything. I think it's something that we talk about, but you know, don't look up at the peak, look down at your steps and you know, walk up the hill or whatever you say, you know, and for me, in Indy, I was halfway through the race. I'm like, geez, we're going all right here. And, you know, like sort of thinking, you know, I'll move up the front because I feel like we've got a good car, and, you know, I sort of rushed it a little bit here and there. And, you know, I probably just bit off a bit more than I could chew at that pit stop. But did I need to do that? No, because I still had 90-100 laps left to go. So the biggest thing for me was just don't take my hand off the button and just make sure that I'm you know, dotting my I's and crossing my T's, because it bites you hard, especially in this sport over here where it's just so competitive. You make one mistake, you're done. So it's like that in most sports, but honestly, it's they eat you up over here with all that.
Liven it up. Come on. You're a big Days of Thunder fan, Scotty. Was there a moment where you were coming in so hot into the pit lane, you had the IndyCar official standing there right in front of you? Holy crap, I'm going to crash in pit lane here.
No, I honestly, man, I felt so bad for that guy. He shit himself. Like, honestly, that whole first five boxes, like, honestly, in front of me, like, they were all, like, jumping the fence. There's a really good video. I'm going to try and find it. One of the Pagano's dudes, because Pagano's box was at the front edge of pit lane, so where I went through, I literally went through their box, their pit box, and And they said, like, I went through there so fast. They're like, holy crap. Like, it was just unbelievable. But
so what would you have been doing? Like 100 mile an hour or more? Probably way more.
Yeah, I was definitely double the speed limit.
Jesus. And then there was, before we leave, there was that onboard vision. I'm sure you've seen, I mean, you were behind the bloody wheel. I don't have to ask you about it. The start of the race.
Sorry, you saw it.
The start, yeah. Or you might have closed your eyes. The start of the race, so yeah. Your first Indy 500, barrel down to the front, just take it easy, and then you went to pass, and you're four wide going past the start-finish line. Did you get to turn one and look, holy shit?
Yeah, and it's funny, on the onboard cameras, you can like literally see me talking to myself. Like I'm like, go, 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 go. Oh, this, I got an awesome run. Oh, no, back off, back off, back off, back off. Oh, no, I can do it. And then I'd like back off again. Like that's literally what was going on in my head, because I was like, I got a really good run. I got a good start. And
the gap was there, wasn't it?
And the gap was there, and it was nothing that I thought about the night before. The night before, I was like, no, I'm just going to get into turn one. I'm just going to chill out. I'm going to get into my rhythm. Dude, the first thing I did as soon as I put the pedal down, I went four wide. Like, I'm like, straight in, straight around. I'm like, what are you doing, you dickhead? So I sort of thought about it. And then I'm like, oh, I've still got this hole. So I kept going. And then because I had the call, it was four wide. I'm like, oh, this is pretty etchy. And then it was three wide. I'm like, oh, this is getting better. And then they're like, three wide Sato in the middle. I'm like, nah, he won't back off. So I backed off and got behind Sato because he's very aggressive. So I didn't really want to be outside on, you know, that one of 200 at turn one, because probably for sure I would have hit the fence. So it was a bit of a, it started good. And I was like, if I had a bit more of a better run, if I didn't half think about it like I did, I probably could have got around them. But, you know.
What did Rick Mears, how did he review that? One of the greats of all time.
They were all laughing at me. They're like, I thought you were going to take it easy. Like, like, they were just like, what the hell? Even all the boys were like, there's a good video of the boys like looking at the start. You can see us all go past and they're like all up on the wall going, oh, no, we're done. But, yeah, I encourage anyone that's listening to this podcast to go watch the lap one onboards. It's a pretty cool view, and it's honestly cool, why IndyCar is going from strength to strength, because the speeds we're doing side by side, and you know, nothing was wrong there, and how tight it was pretty impressive. Not blind, but that's just
yeah, other. You are.
I'm gonna ask one more. You're mates with Connor Daly, you play golf with him. What about that onboard of him when he came around turn two and Graham Rahal's tire was bouncing.
Oh my gosh.
Towards him. Like, can you imagine being in that position thinking, oh, what would be going through? I mean, he would have seen it, wouldn't he?
No, he wouldn't have. He didn't see it. That's the thing. I spoke to him about it because I got him a beer from my bus that night. And I said, come have a beer, because it could have been
one of them ginger beers from Ludo's. No,
I gave him a Corona. And I'm like, let's have a beer and talk about this, because it was a bit sketchy and
a bit
yeah. So I mean, like, without the aero screen, man, it could have been all bad, you know. It's pretty scary. So like, the he reckons that he didn't, it got lost like it was in his blind spot of the aero screen when it bounced, and then all of a sudden it just come down. He didn't see it. He thought he had got around the crash. So it just shows, you know, the aero screen is great, but we do have some blind spots that they haven't had before. Which was interesting, yeah.
So did he know it was a wheel?
He didn't know what it was. He didn't know what it was. And he didn't know if he had any damage. He thought it might have just square hit him on the halo, but ended up sort of clipping his wing on the way through as well. And his front wing was the biggest problem. Was they could have changed the front wing, but they would have lost time. But the problem was now that the front wing adjuster had been snapped off. The front wing was okay. But the adjuster where you change the wing angle and for the setup during the pit stops, that had been smashed off, so they couldn't change the wing for the rest of the race.
Right, any more questions there, Jack?
Nah, he seems like a bit of a mad dog. Old Dales. Like him.
He's your type of guy. You'll enjoy him.
Legend.
Oh man. I've got some stories off here about him.
Yeah. I think he'd like the Oxford pub at Bathurst.
Dude, he would thrive at Oxford. He'd probably, you know who
is he? A salmon boy, is he?
Melbourne listeners, Revolver. That's where he'd thrive. Yeah, no, yeah. That's where he'd thrive.
That's awesome. Scott, what do you reckon? Jack didn't have a top five. He said he was going to think of one during the show. Yeah. You've got one.
Yeah, I do.
All right. Well, thanks to Dan and Em, Jack's world famous top five.
From the weekend warriors to the off-road explorers, at ARB you can always trust they're there to help and join in on your passion and excitement of planning your next adventure. After all, they're four-wheel drivers too. At ARB, you can count on the team to have all the right tips, advice and gear to get you anywhere. Check out the range at arb.com.au or go and say g'day to your local ARB team. ARB Traralgon, ARB Bairnsdale and Sale 4-Wheel Drive Centre in Union Street.
That's right, boys. Top five. It's back. Award-winning. They just come to me naturally. I don't know what award we've won, but I've got no doubt over there in the podcast world, somewhere out there, I've managed to win this podcast an award because we can't win anything else.
I love your natural ones though, Jack. Like your natural thought of top fives are normally the good ones.
No, no, they're not. Unless Charlie's texted you.
No. I've recently got onto KO. You still partners with KO, Scotty?
Not officially, but I've probably still got an account.
Yeah, I've got on a KO account. Of course, I'm a big Foxtel fan, but below the bonnet, been getting a run on KO. There you go. So
who
they've sorry. I actually didn't even realize that podcast was still going. But there you go. All right, top five. Hard questions.
Top just five worst podcasts on the planet.
Yeah, number one. Rightio, this is just I'm gonna ask current day questions. They're all pretty simple, but I think they'd be pretty important at this time. Rightio, first one after the weekend, Scotty, obviously, still winning rookie of the year, so good result. But this one goes to you and Hodgie. Will Scott win an event in the IndyCar this year, Tim?
Oh, it's probably only fair if he goes first.
Tim, you're first.
I'm reasonably optimistic it could be something crazy like this weekend. So, yeah, I hope he does. I hope he does win one this year. Yes.
I hope he does. Will he, though?
Yes. Yeah, but as we said earlier, and anyone who listens to these balls and bumpers, we spoke about this before round one, Scott, about how it's the most insanely competitive motorsport series on earth this year. Mm. And what is it? The opening six races, now six different winners. So it just goes to show how healthy and competitive it is. So on your day, hopefully a little bit of luck and he's good enough. So, fingers crossed.
SM3, are you more confident?
Is that a good answer?
No, I think I can do it. It's just a matter of just getting everything right. I've got the talent. I've got the car. It's just a matter of getting it all together.
What do you think, Jack?
I'm actually pretty confident he will win one. Yeah, and I actually think he might win a couple. There you go. I'm confident. I just with what I've seen in my trained eye.
Been to the Gold Coast once, Bathurst once, blind as a bat at both.
Yeah, I know. Unbelievable.
And I still know more than you, Tim.
Yeah.
Rubbish. I think it might be this weekend. There you go.
I think things fall away when people just have a confidence and just learn. And I've just got to, I'm the same, Tim. I think this weekend, our boys, sneaky little, just, I don't know.
You know what they'd call it, Jack?
What?
After Indy? They'd call it redemption.
Oh.
Redemption. The
amount of people that told me after the, like, they said, you're going to come back here and you're going to write another book. I'm like, I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, another picture book. Rightio.
I wrote that thing too, by the way.
You've never written anything. Hodgie writes every single thing for you.
No, she doesn't. Right. No, he doesn't.
Can the Tigers finish top four this year? That goes to all of us. Hodgie, you can fire off first.
No. No, but it doesn't matter. You still win the premiership.
I think you'll still be in the eight, but you won't be in the top four.
I think we can finish top four. We've got games against Geelong and Brisbane coming up, which obviously are big games. And look out.
If you win those, I'll be, benefit of the doubt.
Both at the MCG. Well, both hopefully at the MCG, but...
not Marvel?
No, not Marvel. No, no. Oh. We've done our time at Marvel.
I'm glad because that ended well.
Next year, I wouldn't be surprised if we maybe get a few more games at Marvel.
Oh, I hope so. Complaining.
Motorsport, but different league. Is Daniel Ricciardo doing enough to justify his switch to McLaren this year? Hodge.
No, don't ask me. Ask the superstar.
McLaughlin.
It's definitely... Well, because I know what it's like when you change teams and like things... One day it will click. Danny Rick can drive. Like it's gonna click. It's gonna take time. The same thing happened to Renault. He's got a superstar teammate, Lando Norris. The guy is an absolute hoodoo guru. I think it's gonna take time. And when he does, even when he gets up to speed, he's still going to be against a pretty amazing superstar teammate. Mm. So I think it's just a little bit different to how it was at Renault. But I think it will take time, but it's gonna happen. The guy's too good not for it to happen.
Racing car drivers are weirdos, Scott, and you don't get on with your teammates even though you try and pretend that you are great friends. How would that be sitting with Daniel Ricciardo? He's never not pantsed his teammate, and now he's absolutely getting shown up by his younger teammate. How would that be sitting with Daniel?
Well, it's gonna piss him off. No doubt. But at the end of the day, I think it's gonna spur him on even more. There's no better way to be, getting spurred on by getting smashed by someone in the same equipment, whether it's the same or not, I don't know. But I know that he'll be a team like that. When they had two competitive cars and all they want to do is move up the grid, they're gonna give each other the most amount of beans as possible.
Rightio, next question. This one is for you, Hodgie. Who's going to coach Collingwood next year?
Robert Harvey.
Oh, Robert Harvey. Yep, rightio.
No, it won't be Robert Harvey, is my feel. I would say it's between Sam Mitchell and Ross Lyon.
Ross Lyon?
Yeah, I think Ross Lyon might end up at Collingwood.
Really?
It's a big job. It's a big job. Big job to coach Collingwood. And just don't know. Do you worry, Hodgie, that...
What about you, Joey? You're a Collingwood fan.
Yeah, Joey, actually, I'll get you on this one.
Like, and you're a bit of a hoodoo guru with the sports.
Yes.
What do you think?
Yes.
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 Who do you think?
Can we get Clarko out of Hawthorn, Hodgie?
My mail is that Graham Wright left Hawthorn because he and Clarko don't like each other so much. So I'm not sure whether he's going to be the one hiring Clarko. So I can't see that happening.
What about Michael Voss? I reckon Vossie should at least be interviewed.
Yeah. Big call. I don't mind that, Jack.
Big call.
Hey, Jack, can I ask you, you're mates with, not mates, but you know Bucks. You've been at functions with him. Do you reach out to him and send him a text or... see how he's doing or anything after the events of yesterday for those, the most famous club in Australia, the biggest star in the club's history was departed yesterday.
Yeah, I don't know whether they're the most famous club in Australia, but I'm not that close to him. But if I ran into him, I would, you'd pulse check him to see how he's going and it'll be really interesting where he ends up. I think he's got a great footy brain. He'll probably end up at one of the media outlets, possibly even in the back end of this year. I wouldn't be surprised, Hodge, if he popped his head up somewhere.
He was great on AFL 360. Very good on AFL 360 when he was on it. I really liked that.
Tiffany won't be on AFL 360 with Robbo. But maybe somewhere else, Tim. Maybe somewhere else. Final question. Is Bathurst still on the cards? Will we see SM3 at Bathurst, Hodgie?
Is there anything the sport can do to help you, Scott, with the yes. with the government?
There we go.
I haven't heard.
I think it's Sean Seema as hard as they want to work to get their biggest star back for their biggest race to hopefully make happen. But unless they try something crazy, I can't see it. Unfortunately, I can't see it happening.
Nah, I unfortunately, I don't know.
Do you think it's becoming less likely that you'll come back? And I know there's a desire, but is the way that you were treated over the back end of the last few years make it not as appetizing?
Thanks, Ralphie.
I'm only wanting to do it purely because I love the race and I love my team. I'm not doing it for supercars and I'm not doing it for anything else. I'm just doing it for my team and the people that are there because they're great people. Certainly it's, I'm not going to go out of my way to, help people that basically stabbed me in the back on the way out.
Rightio, there's the top five. And finishing on a good note there. Nice little high note, Tim.
Jack, you always drag us down. And now it's time for you to pick us back up. One little game before we finish up. Thanks to Jason in Brisbane helping support our next segment. Party Golf Tours can take the stress out of booking your next golf tour. With already pre-arranged and designed tours available, they can also custom design your own golf tour to your needs or your budget. Let them do the sorting. All you need to do is turn up with your golf clubs. Head to partygolf.com.au, partygolf.com.au. So the way this works, each episode you nominate a favourite track you've played on recently. This is actually a unique one because, Jack, we had to have this podcast early on Thursday morning Australian time, because you're hitting the course this afternoon in Sydney. Please explain.
Yes, no, 14-day quarantine's up, so I'm going to be heading out and having a bash. And to be honest, it could really roll straight into the Woods Environmental Service dumb things I've done, because it is absolutely teeming up here in Sydney at the moment. And we've pulled some strings and we've been very lucky to get onto the New South Wales golf course right on the head of Botany Bay, where Captain Cook landed. And 1770, there's a little history lesson for you as well.
Jeez, what the?
And number four ranked course in Australia. I think it's about number 30 in the world. So I will be going out there and having a bash.
Is it a free round?
No, 250 to get on the course. And I haven't got my own sticks as well. So I left the Callaways back in Victoria.
Pack them, and it took you 8 hours not to pack them, or what happened?
Yeah, no, that wasn't in the priority list.
Do they know you took the greatest mark in the history of Australian rules football?
He'll be telling the receptionist when he gets there.
Yeah, surely that's worth $50 off the green fees.
Well, I know. I'm a bit disappointed. I thought you might have been able to get on there.
You stand there. Get two blokes over there. I'll reenact it for you. So.
In the clubhouse.
Boom.
That's going to be the scene. There's no more Mr. Brightside. It's just going to be reenacting Mark for the rest of his life while he's drunk.
I'm going to spoil it.
No. So, New South Wales this afternoon. Looking forward to it. Hopefully this weather holds off. And I could be on the next episode, boys, of dumb things I've done playing golf in the wet for Rodney.
And it's on the coast. That's on the coast too. It's going to be, yuck.
It's not so windy at the moment. I am worried. I'm plenty of towels and we'll be in carts. So, look out.
All right, two to finish on. We get a lot of social media action wanting to know an update on Joey's love life. So, Joey, anything to tell us?
Well, we've been in lockdown since we last did this. So I haven't been able to go out to five days.
Joey, hey, hang on.
Hey, the internet still works, mate.
What are the rules?
You're allowed one what do they say?
Oh, is the single bubble thing.
Here we go.
Is there anyone in the personal bubble, Joey, for you, or are you just...
I haven't nominated anyone. I haven't nominated anyone. I have got that app I told you about last week. That's going okay.
Is that one of those salt lamps in the background?
There's a salt lamp there, just there.
Yeah, that's bring a bit of positive energy into the room.
Is that do you put that on your bio that you're spiritual with the salt lamp?
I put the...
You got crystals in your car?
I'm pretty sure that lamp's not working. It's underneath the Collingwood jumper.
Next episode, I want Joey to read out his Hinge bio. What do you want in your bio?
All right.
And we're going to...
No, why not? Let's read it now.
Go on, and
everyone out there who's single.
They've got.
Right, while Joey's getting that up, we want to just give a plug. I know you both have done a little bit with Neil Danaher in the past. Scotty, you posted yesterday on your socials about his MND beanies. Jack, you're on 360 on Tuesday night after Neil's segment. He's he's an inspirational man, isn't he? And all we can say is get out there and get an MND beanie if you can 100%. From Coles or Bunnings or online, because he's an inspiration.
Yep, I agree.
100%.
Fantastic person.
Rightio, Joe, have you got it up?
So what's that Hinge? What's that Hinge bio sound like?
Is it Hinge?
It's Hinge. So you don't put a bio. You've got to answer these little questions.
Yep. All right. So what's your at though? So people can go search.
Oh, it's just my name. Oh, you don't search for it. You've got to hope I'm in your zone or whatever. So I'm listed
kind of like that.
I'm listed at 5'5", which is that's accurate.
Hey, so generous. You work 50
meters. That's borderline dwarfism.
Oh.
Hang on, Joey. You work 50 meters away from the University of Melbourne, the biggest uni in Australia. That's got to be good for business.
There's a lot of activity out there. I had some assistance with my bio from Daniel Harford, who of course loves the app.
Big shorts.
They're 30 years of age. 30 years of age. One of them was, we'll get along if there's, we've answered, there's time in your life for footy. Although we've got a bit more time now, Hodgie, because our team's not very good this year. So I don't really watch much of them. I'm the type of texter that replies promptly. We put that one. Yep. That was a semi-serious one.
Do you have read receipts?
Nah, turn those off. No.
Oh, yeah, good. Nah. Good man.
Nah. Kind of those.
Treat them mean.
And then we put a mantra or a mantra together. My daily saying.
A mantra, whatever you want to call it.
Depends if you're
in
Adelaide.
Mantra
or
hotel? Or
wow.
It's the mantra.
mantra. People might call it different things. So our daily saying.
They'd be wrong, though.
The daily saying that we put together is fish where the fish are.
Well, you are doing that working next to a university.
We know where to go. So that's the three that we've picked, and we're going to rotate them next week, we reckon.
I like it.
We look forward to hearing what the rotation is next time.
Well, if you're at University of Melbourne, you're listening to this, get amongst this bloke. 5'5", specimen, ready to party.
Specimen.
you can actually lie about your height as well, Joey. Seriously, don't say 5'5".
I think my actual height's about 5'1".
Right, is that it, guys?
Any interactions, Joey? Is there just conversation on there, or do people send pictures of them?
No, you can't send photos on there. Apparently, you can't send photos. So you can only communicate.
So can you see
text.
A photo of the person that you're talking to?
Yeah, you've got to set 5 or 6 different photos. So I've put mine with you two in it and Hodgie the day we're out in Chadston.
Oh. we're on Joey's Hinge.
Just to throw people off in case they want to match with you guys.
The greatest wingman of all time.
Oh, ultimate wingman.
Oh, yeah.
No, good. I'm proud. I'm on Hinge. I didn't even know it.
I'm on
it. It's not what you know, Joey. It's who you
always
know.
Always has been.
So use them and abuse them. So thanks to Joey for pushing the buttons while working his Hinge account. Thanks to Rodney at Woods Environmental Services. Thanks to Dan and Em at ARB. Thanks to Jason at partygolf.com.au. To our major sponsors, to Matt at EC Credit Control and William and the team at Authentic Collectibles. That is Bulls and Bumpers, all the best this weekend for you, Jack, against the Eagles on Sunday night in the West.
Thank you.
And to you, Scotty.
Oh, I'll go shout.
To you, Scotty, on the streets of Detroit. Have a ripping run. Hopefully you can get a trophy.
Winner, chicken dinner.
Hopefully there's a
few expectations from my blokes, so I've got to sort it out. So we'll see how we go.
Hopefully there's a trophy waiting for you.
No. Yeah, hopefully. Thanks, boys. Appreciate it. Thanks, Joey. That was some, and we'll check back on the Hinge profile to see.
Yeah, looking forward to that. That's what's that's the big one.
That's a
good
new
luck,
segment.
Joey.
I actually think that should be one of our new segments.
Get Hinge on board as a sponsor.
Yeah.
See you, boys.
I look forward to us getting an invite to the wedding when it all comes to fruition. Thanks, guys.
We'll do a podcast at the wedding.
Yes. You've been listening to Balls and Bumpers. We'll see you for the next episode.
Ciao.